All right, we're about to go around the NFL here in the loop on Sports Radio 610. But before we do that, we got to do the thing that we do on Tuesdays, which is welcome in the man himself from Hiram Clark. It's Brandon K. Scott. B. Scott, what's popping, brother?
Man, I'm just in a much better mood now. I'm so glad that we're doing the show that I'm on at 11 o'clock in the morning, as opposed to, like, say, right after that game was over last night. Because that wouldn't have been very fun to talk to, wouldn't have been very entertaining. But I've had enough time to sit on it, to sleep on it, and to allow it to all marinate. So I'm doing a lot better than I was, say, 12 hours ago.
All right, so save those thoughts, because B. Scott's thoughts are coming here in just a little bit. Did you want to weigh in at all on the 100 men versus a gorilla at all? Especially, I think did we settle on 100 Brian Cushings? Somebody else said 100 Hulks. I'm guessing they mean Hulkmania.
Yeah, so that's not a man, though, right? Because you got to have the serum. I was like, look, if the serum is not real, right?
No, yeah, it's got to be a man.
Yeah.
Someone said Lawrence Taylor, but he got to have his superpowers.
Okay, so that type of serum,
yeah.
You're going to need some type of serum, okay? And whether it's, you know, illegal narcotics, or if it's actual, like, you know, made-up serum from the superhero movies,
yeah.
You're going to need a little bit more than just man. I've actually thought long and hard about this.
I expected.
Like, yeah. my initial thought, though, was even getting 100 men to agree to do it is wild to me.
That's the one.
Like, who are the 100 men that are like, yeah, I'll go out there and be like one of the possible men and likely men to get killed by the gorilla, you know, in the course of this. Because I think that maybe 100 men could do it, but how many men got to die before
you get there? I said 30-40%. That's a lot.
I don't want to be one of the 30 or 40 or 50 men that got to die for this mission to get accomplished. So I'm not signing up for it. How do I know I'm
going to be 100 B. Scotts?
No.
100 B. Scotts is too small. I could have told you that.
No chance.
Because here's the thing.
And you're not going to get one B. Scott to agree to it.
That's
all. Every B. Scott in every universe. What is the metaphor? What is the
multiverse?
Multiverse. In every multiverse of B. Scott, everyone will refuse. All versions of me.
I do want to say, I actually think that it would be easier to get 100 to agree. It's actually scarier in that circumstance, because those 100 agree, and then they get into that moment, and they're like, I have made a grave mistake.
I said yes to this.
No, but I do love what people have done on the internet, like with the Texans saying, hey, well, how about 100 Brian Cushions?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. I've seen others give, like, they're like, hey, give me the 80s Pistons. Give me, Kimbo Slice. I know Kimbo, rest in peace to Kimbo Slice.
Right.
And give me Solange. Like, people are like being funny about it, you know, because how she was in the elevator with Jay-Z.
She
like,
gave him
me people that you know are about that life. 100 of those, and let's go.
Respect it.
I do respect it.
Someone said, I don't need 100 men. Give me Will Anderson Jr., Aziz Alshayer, Danielle Hunter, and we good.
Hey. Right.
Your defense would stink then.
Yeah, because not all them coming back.
Yeah, because they gonna show heart, but they gonna get dead.
All right, let's talk about some football. I guess
we would know the draft needs next year. That's for sure.
Damn shame what happened to that Will Anderson Jr.
Yeah. All right, not a shame at all what happened to George Kittle. George Kittle, now the highest paid tight end in the National Football League, on an average annual value of $19.1 million compared to the $19 million average annual value that Trey McBride got. They finally got it done.
Mm-hmm.
George Kittle becoming the highest paid player with a 4-year deal. Does this matter at all to you, or like? Because I'm amazed that they actually paid him. Like, I thought the Niners were coming up on that time period where you go, oh, I don't know if we could pay all these dudes. Of course, it feels like George Kittle is somewhat foundational to what they do. But they're finding ways to pay some of these dudes in a way that I'm starting to wonder, like, okay, how are we back in the place where we're willing to go, the salary cap isn't real, you just need some massage?
Nah, the salary cap is real, but I think the other part is also true, that you just really need to, like, you just have to be smart with it. It's real, but you have to be smart with how you navigate it. That's why people are in those particular positions. But imagine this, if you were a 49ers fan and you lose Deebo Samuel, you're not able to come to grips with or come to a decision with George Kittle, and then you're going to end up paying Brock Purdy.
Yeah.
Like the Brock Purdy
and Brandon
thing.
Brandon Ayuk.
Yes, I'm saying the Brock Purdy and Brandon Ayuk thing only works if you still got all of the superheroes around that, right? And of course, you made the decision on Deebo, which I think is a fine decision. I think he'll be fine in Washington, but I get why you would move off of that if you're going to stick with Brandon Ayuk, but you can't get rid of George Kittle, who's actually your best offensive player.
You know, you were mentioning that, does it matter to me or whatever?
Mm-hmm.
We have a tendency, all of us, to sort of localize it and personalize it to like our situation.
That's right.
has it's apples and Volkswagens.
Yeah, I was trying to see if I can get that there.
When it comes to the Texans, there is no. Oh, what does it mean? It doesn't mean a damn thing for Stover or Schultz
or
anybody.
I mean, honestly, it would be very nice if you had some level of comparison because you had a player of that caliber, but unfortunately you don't have a tight end of that space. Like, how are we feeling about the tight ends going into this season?
Yeah, I mean, it's the one position group that has been a disappointment now for, like, I think you got decent play out of Dalton Schultz in the first year.
Year one, mm-hmm.
But I don't think anybody, like, even when he signed his extension, people were like, oh, yeah, I could have done without him. Like, it's just a very ho-hum, underwhelming position group overall, even if you do like Cade Stover, which I do. I just don't know. I don't know how much he's going to be prioritized or what exactly they're going to ask from him in this. Honestly, it's one of the interesting parts about the new offense, right, because the new offensive coordinator does at least specialize
his whole career
in coaching tight ends. Now, how is that going to translate into the offense that he designs or the plays that he calls? I do not know, but I know that I'm not, like, overly impressed with that position.
Yeah, I alluded to it yesterday. It's kind of been overshadowed by the offensive line. It's offensive line light. Like the questions we have for the offensive line, are they good? Are they, you know, are they kind of, you know, injury prone or sliding or whatever? You can say the exact same thing about the tight end room.
Yeah. Well, I would say just even overall about their, and I know their running statistics look better last year because they had Joe Mixon for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
But just overall as a kind of as a run blocking outfit, it isn't just the offensive line. It extends, when you hear them talk about it, it extends beyond the offensive line, and we can see it with our own two eyes. Mm-hmm. Dalton Schultz out there not really necessarily giving you exactly what you want, Cade Stover being a rookie last year. But from the line itself to the tight ends and then even the wide receivers, I thought, weren't as good as they had been in previous years in run blocking. So that's something that they overall got to attack. But that room, it's a less talked about and less priority position group.
Yeah.
But I think it is just as – has just as many question marks as any other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment of what's happening there. So I guess salute to George Kittle getting his money at the very least. I'm very intrigued to see like what this Niners team is able to do as they find themselves clearly on the backside of what this like, you know, peak is, how long they're able to extend that window of some level of contention, because they're also a type of team where they get to the end of this window and they might be talking about disappointment, considering even though they were good for a long time, not necessarily getting to that pinnacle. Yeah. Being a problem.
They went defense in the draft. They drafted Ricky Pearsall last year, who we know had a real scary moment, but it ended up recovering from that.
Right.
So he's got some potential to help them offensively. Obviously, this Kittle move that we're talking about now, and then in the draft, they went defense. So they still are operating like they're right there. We'll see what they actually are.
You have to operate in that way from the 3-4-6. 100 men already facing death. Bye-bye, Silverback. I like what they're doing there. Like they're putting the hypothetical situation where
death row.
Yeah, we're gaming this. I imagine it's like if you live, you can make it out, right? Like if you can manage to get this done. But I don't know. Does that help or does that hurt? I don't know. I'll circle back around
to that.
That's
rough, man. I just imagine being like the 50th guy who watched the first 49 go, and I'm right there in the middle. It's like, nah, bro. Just don't feel like
that's
it.
That's like that game on Netflix. Or what's that show on Netflix? The little game show where they.
Yes.
How did I forget the name?
Squid Game?
Squid Game. Yeah. I was about to say Endgame, but Squid Game.
If you could get like 15 to 20 to attack every limb. Like, we got to all attack every both legs
once.
And both hands at the same time, and then somebody go for the head.
Yeah.
You can devise a strategy.
Who are the volunteers to do that?
God bless. God bless.
I'll volunteer a strategy, but I will not be out there.
As a brain trust, we'll be over here. I'm C-suite. All right. At the risk of beating a dead horse, like I imagine a silverback gorilla would beat you with your own dismembered body, we bring you to Shedeur Sanders once more because, interestingly enough, this is around the NFL, but I'll expand it to around the football of sorts, because the CFL's Toronto Argonauts added Shedeur Sanders to their negotiation list after he slid in the NFL draft.
I love this.
Why do you love this?
I think it's brilliant for Shedeur Sanders. It's certainly brilliant for the CFL and the Toronto Argonauts. And let me explain. If you're Shedeur Sanders, you got five quarterbacks in that room and you got a little negotiating power now, because the Argonauts, they did this just yesterday. They put him on their negotiation list, which means they can pay him and they can make him, you know, their highest paid player. He goes full Warren Moon from back in the day, goes to Canada, throws for 8 million yards or whatever, gets some game experience that's guaranteed. I'm not saying he should do it. I'm saying I think it's a brilliant possibility. And then think about it from the CFL perspective.
Oh, yeah.
That's Caitlin Clark.
Yeah, no, that's obvious.
That's
from the
Caitlin
CFL
Clark.
Standpoint.
I mean, the ratings, the attention, the rating, the television coverage in this country. I mean, I think it's something to think about.
Yeah, I think you could make the argument that in 2025, Shedeur Sanders is more famous than the Canadian Football League.
Sure.
So yeah. I think bringing in a player, a singular player that's more famous than your entire league, your entire concept, is great for you. So check that box. That part is obvious. But then for Shedeur, I just really thought about it as you were kind of laying it out. I'm like, if I'm Shedeur Sanders, would I rather be among a crowd of middling quarterbacks but still not sure if I got a legitimate shot because they drafted somebody that I might be better than ahead of me?
Yeah.
Or would I rather ball out and see it? Like, would I rather do this in Cleveland and with the Browns, who are a disaster as an organization? Sorry, Figgy. But would I rather
do
that?
You got to apologize to me. That ain't my team.
You know what I'm saying?
You said it's from around your spot.
I ain't trying to poke fun at Cleveland, but you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. The Browns, man, they on some other stuff. Do I want to do that?
Bigger
if I'm
field.
Or
they pass
Canadian
on just
league.
About every down.
Yeah.
Bigger end zones.
Yeah, this is an option. Yeah. This would be an option if I were him. Let me put it
I agree with you.
I don't know what he's thinking or what his aspirations are exactly. But if I were him, I would think about this.
Yeah. I think if you end up in a place where somebody trying to put you on the practice squad, this becomes a conversation. I don't think that we're still in that same era where that crossover works in the same way, where the NFL is going to go and reach back to the CFL and bring folks over, especially as we're already seeing. It seems like the reason why he dropped is people got a problem with him, right? I don't think that they're going to be like, well, he's so good over there in Canada that now I'm going to put those things to the side. Like, I feel like you're going to have to ball in the context where it makes it undeniable, which is the NFL in a circumstance where, yeah, either you go and win a position or you take a position after someone is injured or something like that. That feels like the path forward. If you are trying to ultimately use this as a stepping stone to the NFL.
It's clearly a different environment. But the situation of Shedeur Sanders is almost identical to CFL quarterbacks that had to go prove themselves there. Yeah, and I put together a little list. Joe Capp, undersized Hispanic quarterback that nobody thought could play in the NFL, played in the CFL. Doug Flutie, undersized, amazing star, very much like Shedeur Sanders, had to go prove himself in the NFL. Warren Moon, for obvious reasons back in the day, had to go prove himself as an African-American quarterback, played in the CFL, came to the NFL. Like, there are some similarities here. Jeff Garcia had to go to the CFL in terms of, like, what you're perceived to be, and then you go prove him wrong in the CFL.
Yeah, see, for me, I'm just kind of even looking at it from a different standpoint of doing it out of spite. Now, and I'm not applying this to Shedeur Sanders. I don't think he thinks this way. If you're just putting me in his shoes, I say, well, in the hell with y'all. I was born rich. I don't need you, NFL. Mm-hmm. Now, he might have the actual competitive nature of, hey, I want to be a great quarterback in the NFL, and I respect that. But I could perfectly go to the CFL and be out of sight, out of mind, or just be famous over there and say, well, hell, what y'all got going on in Cleveland? Like, I would be perfectly fine with that. But I'm also not a hyper-competitive. There's a reason why I didn't make it to that spot.
Because
I'm not here for that.
Right.
I don't need that.
And, I mean, to his credit, or I don't know if it's to his credit, because I think there's people that have already had questions about, like, character, what have you, or, like, you know, arrogance. I don't want to, like, dig too deep
into
that.
No, those are fair.
But he seemed to, like, when he was drafted, take it from a place of celebration and just, you know, still appreciating the opportunity. So we'll see what he does with that opportunity when
this is like alternate universe.
Space.
You know, alternate universe. What if he doesn't want to do this? Like, he does have this as an option.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't run from the grind, though.
Do you think CFL? Wow. Wow. Okay. Do you think CFL is more of an option, or would UFL be in terms of proving something to the NFL?
I think CFL would be more of an option in terms of...
Even as the NFL is sidled up to the UFL a little bit.
Yes, because I think the money for your top... They don't pay very well.
No.
But their top-end players, they pay very well. Okay. And they the field. Like, they pass first, second, and third down.
and I think, like, it's the weirdest thing because you're marrying football analysis with, like, fame. And I wonder, like, how much of Shedeur Sanders, like, are we talking about football? Or they're like, hey, man, the juice is just not worth the squeeze. We don't want we don't want our marginal players to be that famous or that loud or that boisterous. I feel like that's a lot of what's happening here. Not just, hey, we don't like him, but is the juice worth the squeeze? Like, how loud can a fifth-round pick be? How loud can my second or third-string quarterback be?
Mm-hmm. And it's such an interesting conversation because it gets to the heart of what football, in some ways, it feels like it needs to have like an authoritarian kind of hierarchy. Right.
Yeah.
There needs to be authority imbued simply because you are the head coach or simply because you hold whatever rank you do in the hierarchy. And it seems like the NFL and maybe football at large is bucking at the idea of you start down this road of guys maybe walking around as if they feel like they are above the hierarchy to some degree. And now are we shaking the foundations of what we have here? Mm-hmm. And I will admit, I was thinking about this morning. I actually do subscribe to some of this in a way that I typically wouldn't think that I would. In the way of, I always talk about, if you're going to be a backup quarterback, the biggest thing you need to be is likable, right? Because you're not out here proving yourself based off of your merit, like off of your football plan, especially if everybody around here wants to be happy, because nobody wants you to be on the field, right? Yeah. If you're on the field, people around here are sad. So at the very least, the thing that keeps you around is being likable. And I do wonder if this is what people are trying to put forward is the opposite for him, where people feel like he is some level of unlikable and they're like, I don't know that you're good enough to be starting caliber to where that would override it. We'll see.
Yeah. You talk a lot of ish, you got to back it up. Mm-hmm. Right. And so, again, when I talk about the juice being worth the squeeze and what you're saying, Reggie, like, hey, man, I don't feel like normally people want their backup quarterback. They want the backup quarterback to be quiet and insightful. Right. Like help the guy in front of you. Right. And
that's what Graham Mertz said in his interview once he was drafted, is like, you know, get into that room and do whatever you can do to help the team win games.
And maybe he can become that, but he is not presented as that up until this point.
What's crazy is even if he don't do anything, his like people are obsessed with him at this point now.
Yeah. Right.
Like you got a lot of celebrities. Like I got to go to a Browns game.
There are going to be Shador's Browns jerseys out here.
It's kind of like the Tebow thing.
It's
the number one selling jersey right now.
I was going to say he might have the highest selling jersey.
No, it is. I looked at it yesterday. As of yesterday, he was number one. Cam Ward was number two.
But think about it.
No. He was number two. Travis Hunter was number one.
That makes sense.
Shador was two. Cam Ward was three.
Did we get a number on? I forgot to circle back around to what Travis Hunter's wearing on his back.
I thought it was two.
Okay. Yeah.
But either way, think about it. Tim Tebow, like, can you be the caliber of player that Tim Tebow is for as famous as he was? It's like, man, the juice not worth the squeeze. He's not good enough on our team. He might have some kind of function or some type of utility on the team. But for what he brings, for the attention, is it good enough? Is the juice worth the squeeze? I think it's a similar situation.
Shout out to Cam saying, I don't know. I want my backup quarterback to be like Jameis Winston personally. Oh, okay.
But Jameis Winston also did all of those little things too. Like I think if you watch the Hard Knocks that they did on the AFC North,
right?
You can kind of get a sense for that Jameis Winston was also one of those guys. I'm not saying that Shador is not. He just has not presented that way.
Right.
And the league doesn't seem to view him that way. But no one has ever said that Jameis Winston wasn't, you know, a consummate teammate or that his personality wouldn't fit in well with what a backup quarterback role is.
Hey, Figgy, what's the best donut spot in Cleveland?
Donut spot? I don't know.
I'm like, whatever it is, I feel like Shador need to find that and bring that into the Cleveland Browns. Where is it? In Brea or whatever? Just keep bring them donuts in and let people see, oh, man, I like this guy. Because you know what people love at the office? The guy who brings breakfast.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, yeah, do that a little bit.
Don't bring everybody no Rolex or jewelry and stuff like that. Just bring some donuts and coffee.
Krispy Kreme.
Bring some. Ain't nobody doing that.
Yeah.
That's not how you win over your teammates.
Jameis is different, but he's never given over or given off superiority complex. He's never really, I don't think, given
no. that and off. I felt no, like no. he accepted his role as a backup, too.
Yeah. He had to. Yeah. He definitely had to. 281, one gorilla versus 100 Tony Saragusas.
Saragusa would run out of gas.
Yeah. I don't think people realize how fast a gorilla is.
Exactly.
Like, he could literally just run through at least 50 of us. Minimum.
That's true.
Like, just run through us. And we'd be, like, incapacitated.
100 Larry Allens?
Again.
They're not fast
enough. Again.
I'm trying.
If you're fast enough, you're not
I'm
big
trying.
Enough. And if you're big enough, you're not fast
I'm
enough.
Just trying.
You're not a man.
Yeah.
I'm trying. Larry Allen could run, though. That boy was, whew.
Draymond's?
Man, have y'all seen gorillas run?
No, I'm just saying I'd want to see the gorillas.
How quickly they get off the ball?
I'd want to see the gorillas do some work.
Great explosion.
Their get off is insane.
Incredible
insane.
Bend.
Insane.
Hips.
Strong bull rush.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Good with their hands.
Yeah, very good with their hands. Unreasonably good with their hands. Yeah, all right.
Underrated footwork.
Like, 100%.
I'm telling you.
Motor is incredible. All right, you're in the loop here. On Sports Radio 610, as you can tell, we are being unserious today. But actually, I feel like we're going to get real serious because B. Scott literally has been waiting days for the opportunity to get off. B. Scott's thoughts, and we'll give them to you next.